Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, with the heightened concerns around physical contact and the use of cash arising from the COVID-19 pandemic, contactless cards are now receiving an even more accelerated focus from consumers. Now, credit unions can no longer take a wait-and-see approach to contactless, and rather than a phased, natural approach to reissuing contactless cards to cardholders, now may be the time for credit unions to work with their payment processors to determine the best strategy to maintain top of wallet. So to help me on today's episode, I have Jeremiah Lotz, who is the Managing Vice President of Digital Experience and Payments Products at PSEU, and Sarah Grotta, who is the Director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group. Now, there's certainly a lot to unpack during today's episode, so without any further delay, let's start the show. So Jeremiah and Sarah, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode as we're kind of taking a little bit of a look at some of the consumer behavior trends that we're seeing during this COVID-19 pandemic. And I know that PSEU has some great infographics that I think that they publish on a weekly basis that you can view on the PSEU site as well as on paymentsjournal.com. But in particular today, I want to take a look at the behavior of contactless cards. And Sarah, I think we've got this great chart provided to us by Mercator Advisor Group. And I'm hoping that perhaps you can unpack this and kind of walk our audience through what this chart is really representing here and explaining.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ryan. So we have this chart that takes a look at both credit card and debit card users in a contactless environment. And we conducted this survey late last year with about 3,000 U.S. consumers. And we did ask again about both cards as well as mobile payment wallets. And what we're finding right now is that credit cards are used in a contactless transaction slightly more than debit. And we have a couple of reasons that we think that might be happening. First, we do find that wealthier individuals are more apt to use contactless, and wealthier individuals are also more likely to use credit cards. So these factors are kind of tied together. And we are also finding that cards are used just a little bit more than mobile for contactless transactions. We've also been tracking use overall, and we've been finding that contactless has increased several percentage points when comparing 2018 to 2019. And, you know, that's just due to the simple fact that that's blocking and tackling. More issuers are issuing contactless and more merchants are accepting contactless. I think to understand the impact that COVID-19 might be having on contactless, we can look to the right side of the chart where I have some of the summarized information from some recent MasterCard and Visa releases. So, you know, MasterCard has announced that between February and March, contactless transactions grew twice as fast as non-contactless transactions in the grocery and drugstore category. So I think that makes a ton of sense. I mean, first of all, grocery and drugstores are where most of us are concentrating our purchases right now. And also contactless is certainly starting from, you know, a smaller position. So we would expect that growth to be greater. I think Visa had some interesting announcements too, just to try and put some numbers against the growth of contactless. They stated that 31 million Americans tapped the Visa contactless card or wallet in March of this year, and that was up from 25 million in November. So that's some substantial growth. And I think the last point is kind of interesting that, you know, the U.S., which has been fairly slow to move to contactless, now has the most contactless cards of any market globally at over 175 million. And so I think if issuers are thinking about, you know, when's the right time to start to think about contactless, you know, I would say that point really really kind of highlights the fact that, you know, this is starting to become sort of an widely accepted, very available solution.
Yeah, I agree with Sarah completely on the usage and the, you know, obviously the data showing how credit is being used a bit more than debit from a contactless perspective. We see the same within our demographic. I think, you know, as a whole, PSU's most recent ION payment study did show that we do see typically a bit more spend on debit in general than on credit, but obviously the type of usage and the way that's happening from a contactless perspective, we see the same type of stats as Sarah mentioned there as well. Obviously, as we look at the impacts of COVID-19, consumers are making a significant shift in the way that they are paying. So again, we see, you know, the transactions being more focused on grocery also, and we see contactless payments increasing across the board as well. We're more conscious of the way we're interacting with individuals with physical devices, and that's causing a great deal of growth. The good news is, you know, we've got several million cards through our owners out as well that are contactless, and as Visa has reported, over 95% of the devices are contactless enabled. So while unfortunate timing or why unfortunate circumstances, timing works in that, you know, we're able to enable those consumers as necessary.
Yeah, Jeremiah, I think that that's a great point there that, you know, it's kind of a two-part equation there. It's not only just the issuing side, but also the merchant acceptance side there. So it's kind of really good to see that this was kind of a best of a worst case scenario where there was a high issuance rate and then also a high acceptance rate on there. But now, as we take a look at this COVID-19 pandemic and kind of the dramatic impact that it's really had on consumer behaviors, Jeremiah, I'm curious to get from your standpoint, as I know that your organization has some really interesting data around this, as consumers really begin to kind of adapt to what they're calling kind of this new normal, what are some of the emerging trends that you're starting to see in payment methods?
Yeah, good question. So obviously consumer preferences are shifting. And while I think it's a result of what's happening right now, I think it also will likely be a permanent shift. I don't believe that as we move more individuals to transacting contactlessly and using digital devices more, I don't necessarily think that we'll step back, right? We will continue to embrace those capabilities and continue down that path. You know, prior to the pandemic, about 50% of lower dollar value transactions at the point of sale were made using cash. We are starting to see and expect to see that shift, obviously based on the types of equipment that are available, the cards themselves, wallets, et cetera, and, you know, what's happening in this space right now. We see consumer behavior changing significantly as a result of that with contactless. We, you know, mobile payments, Sarah mentioned mobile payments earlier, and obviously another key component of contactless as a whole is those mobile wallets, Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung, and others. And also just the shift to digital management. So the increase in consumers' use of digital devices to manage their financial services. We obviously, as many financial institutions have, are enabling consumers to manage their cards through mobile interactions and mobile experiences. And, you know, that shift has increased the usage and adoption of those platforms rather significantly. We also see things like the, you know, reduction of ATM transactions. The reduction of, you know, use of cash is going to result in an impact to ATM transactions. It's going to result in a higher usage of those contactless devices. And then, you know, like I said, the digital components themselves are starting to get more use. We have, you know, recently launched a digital issuance component to our card management solution. And this is, I think, something that we'll see individuals now that they can get access to their card, you know, digitally while that physical card is also, you know, to follow in the mail. This is another shift I think that we'll see probably take off a bit quicker than perhaps what might have happened prior to this, because I'm going to now be used to that digital interaction. I'm going to be looking for ways that I can access that card and maybe not even doing as much shopping physically, obviously now, but maybe even in the future as I have in the past. And so, you know, we look at this digital transition kind of across our demographics as a whole now speeding up as a result of this. And so, you know, credit unions are going to need to ensure they're enabling not just things like contactless cards and payments, but also, you know, digital management of those accounts, digital issuance of those cards as appropriate as well to enable those consumers across the board.
You know, you said something really interesting, I think, which was that you're starting to see a decline in cash at the point of sale. And, you know, that's always been the sort of the promise of contactless, right, is we're going to get expensive cash transactions out of the system and replace it with electronic transactions. But it's great that you're seeing that actually happening, because I think one of the concerns is that, you know, gosh, we're going to issue these contactless cards and we're just going to be replacing transactions that would have been done on the card anyway. So that's great that you're actually seeing that decline in cash. You know, I wanted to ask you too, getting a little bit away from purchasing transactions, but, you know, talking about digital generally, are you seeing more activity in P2P apps?
Yeah, so I do believe across the board there has been additional usage of P2P apps, as well as, you know, on the card side, we see receipt of funds as a result of P2P applications. And then as a result of, you know, usage in general, we've seen an increase there. You know, consumers are still exchanging money. They're still paying bills, paying landlords, and, you know, in many cases, migrating to channels maybe that they weren't using before. And obviously, these are, you know, great opportunities for them to use P2P or those other types of digital solutions. So a significant increase in those areas. And again, I don't expect us to move backwards, right? So I think as you start to get used to those experiences, I expect consumers to continue down that path, which puts, you know, likely even continued pressure on the financial services space on how we invest in the digital solutions that we put out in the market.
Excellent. No, I think that's a great overview of kind of the digital side of things here. But let's get back to the physical side of things here and the actual contactless cards. So, Jeremiah, I'd love to see from PSU standpoints, you know, what are some of the steps that credit unions can take now to really kind of meet this accelerated demand for contactless cards that we're seeing, considering that there's a vast majority of people really right now that just don't want to touch the POS system and don't want to touch the keypad of fears of the COVID virus?
Great question. So I think, you know, as credit unions are looking at their strategies as a whole right now, areas that they want to make investments in, areas that are going to best entice their members and potential members, this is a great time to look at what your overall strategy is in regards to card issuance and reissuing of contactless. There was very much an approach of, hey, let's reissue these in a natural reissuance manner, not necessarily create disruption through mass reissues. And while that's an easier process in many cases, and it allows for those cards to go out sometimes in a little bit of less expensive way, now it's really the opportunity to question, is that the right move, or is it necessary to do a larger reissuance strategy to allow more of these cards to get in the hands of members? You know, obviously, you know, across the market and across the industry, we're seeing an uptick here. So there's consideration in cost, there's consideration in timeframes, et cetera. But I think credit unions really need to put a little bit of effort into what's the right strategy for them based on their consumers, based on how they are seeing their consumers transact. And ultimately, where do they need to shift investment as a result of what we're seeing here? So PSU, as I mentioned, we've, you know, been enabling multiple credit unions throughout the last year, and you know, have resources to do that with our member owners as we move forward. So definitely, I think we're in a position to make sure our credit unions clearly understand and have a strategy. We're there to consult with them on which portfolio, which method for each of those portfolios makes the most sense. But now is the right time to have the conversation. And as Sarah mentioned in that last note, as you're starting to see some of those cash transactions get replaced as a result of what's happening right now, it kind of helps the ROI a little bit as well. So that's a good opportunity for us as we start to think through those strategies from a credit union perspective.
Yeah, a little follow-up question to that. Have you seen any best practices on the communication to cardholders through a contactless card issuance? I was just curious if, you know, perhaps some consumers need to be convinced that, you know, waving and tapping their card is safe. Are you running across that at all?
Yeah, so I don't know that I believe it's that we've seen that it's a huge deterrent, but I do think there's opportunity for sure in the education pieces. So mm-hmm. one, making sure folks understand, you know, what that symbol is, and that, you know, what it means and what to look for. You don't want to be embarrassed by waving your card over top of a device that isn't yet enabled, and you know, not looking like you're trying to create magic, right? So making sure they understand what they're looking for and how the card works, and then also using that as an opportunity to educate them on, hey, it still is using that technology that was important when we moved to EMV. That same technology is in place. That same security behind that, which is the reason we made that move, exists here. And so you have a secure device here to make transactions. I think educating them along the way is absolutely important. And again, not to move back into the digital space, but also letting them know, hey, here's the opportunities you have to make payments now. Here is a contactless card, and don't forget you have these other options. So it gives a credit union a good chance to, you know, reiterate to their members what options they have at their fingertips.
Yeah, Jeremiah, you know, I really agree on that education part there, that, you know, really no one wants to look like a Jedi here and find out that those aren't the droids that they're looking for. And now you talked about, you know, kind of the digital instant issuance there, where and then the card being sent in the mail as a follow up. And I really kind of liken that experience to kind of getting like that loaner car while yours perhaps is in the shop, and it has all those new bells and whistles, which to it, you know, is really, really nice. And it kind of gets you thinking of like, oh, maybe, you know, I'd really want this or really want to go with it. And I'd have to think that that would help to drive some of the growth of the digital use card. But beyond that, what are some of the strategies that credit unions can adopt to kind of really maintain top of wallet for the consumers?
Yeah, so top of wallet is super important right now. And obviously, you know, giving the consumers the tools they need in order to, you know, fit their lifestyle. So it's not just about the card itself in that regard. It is, what are the benefits that come along with it? How is the credit union protecting me when I make a transaction? What are all the fraud things that are happening behind this that maybe I will never see, but give me some level of confidence to know that my credit union's got my back? So making sure that your consumers have a level of visibility into that protection that you're giving them that's important for them to know and the peace of mind, and hopefully that they don't even necessarily have to deal with. But that it exists and you're making those investments. Letting consumers know that they can, they have tools at their fingertips to manage their cards, and that you've got capabilities and tools at your fingertips to quickly assist them when there's a need. Maybe there's an experience in which I, do have fraud. Well, what does that experience look like? How quickly can I get access to my account again so I don't move to another card? That's where that digital issuance comes into play. But also, how do, you know, does my card come in the mail rather quickly? Am I waiting a week or more? So, you know, letting your members know what that process looks like and having speed behind that. The digital applications that we talked to earlier, you know, giving them the ability to use alerts and controls. If I have a card that I know I can kind of watch over and see anytime there's a transaction, whether I made it, or perhaps it was a recurring transaction, or perhaps maybe it was a fraud one. I can see real time what was happening and the comfort of knowing, oh, I know what that transaction is. I'm good with it. I'm ready to move on. Or even putting controls on it where, you know, I can control either my own spending or someone else who is on my account to ensure that there's no chance of it getting used in an inappropriate way. And then also, rewards and those types of things, you know, it keeping the program and the card benefits itself up to speed and up to market, and, you know, giving the members something that maybe they can't get somewhere else is going to keep you top of wallet as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeremiah and Sarah, for taking the time today for speaking to me about contactless and the consumer payment trends during this COVID-19 pandemic. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.